You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Sam Rosen, he joins us right now. Sam, it's great to talk to you. I'm sure you've done so much in your career, but I don't think you've, unless it was the Olympics, I don't think you've ever called hockey in August.
No, never hockey in August. I have done a couple of games off monitors, but never hockey in August. And a friend of mine texted me last night, said, hockey in July, that was really fun. And I said, if you like that, wait for hockey in August.
Right. So. It really is something. And we got to see it last night in the scrimmage. And before we get to all that stuff, there was news from the other tenant at MSG, and that is the Knicks. And they have made it official, hiring Tom Thibodeau. And you know, you've been around a long time, so you have perspective on everything. And I was just curious, as you know, Tom was with Jeff Van Gundy when the Knicks were winning in the 90s. He was on the coaching staff there. He has had success now as a head coach going from there. As the Rangers have been able to get it right with what they've done in a quick rebuild, what do you think of the hire of Tom Thibodeau with the Knicks?
Well, I love it. You touched on it right there, Alan, the fact that he has such great experience and he has a winning style and a winning culture, and he knows New York. So he knows what New York is all about. He knows the pressures involved. He's been there. He's coached at the Garden. And I think it's a great hire. And hopefully it'll work out where the Knicks will head in a winning direction and stay there. That's the goal of the Rangers and the Knicks, not only to win 1 year or make the playoffs 1 year or make a strong run for 1 year. Both teams want to be there for 10 years in a row and make it a long run. And I think with a guy like Tom Thibodeau, you've got a winning culture to build from.
How much do you think the success of the quick turnaround of the Rangers kind of influenced the direction in which they think they want to go with the Knicks, and seeing how they rebuilt it, how honest they were with the open letter to everybody, how transparent they were about, listen, this thing isn't going to happen overnight. We've seen on the Knicks side that it seems to sometimes be a sense of urgency to kind of try and do a quick rebuild, and then they end up building a beautiful house without a basement and a great foundation. You know, maybe is Dolan starting to pay attention to how he was able to have success, sustainable success with the Rangers, and saying, hey, this is a great way to run the other business as well?
I think some of that has to rub off, Bart, because you've seen the stability of the Rangers for years. They had the long run where they made the playoffs 11 out of 12 years. They got to the Stanley Cup final. They came within one win of making to the Stanley Cup final another year. So, I think it may rub off, but they're two separate entities. You know, it's two different sports, different styles, whether it's the players involved and the way you have to coach them and direct them. And it's different sports, but no doubt winning is the key. And I think when you build the type of organization that the Rangers have had and now that the Knicks are building, I think that's a real positive step.
I mean, we talked about the identity and what we believe the identity of the Knicks are going to be. What's the identity of this young Rangers team and with this outstanding goalie play that they have and the options they have at the goalie position? How does that position them maybe to make a lot of noise on this restart, meaning that they can have three guys that potentially can stand on their head if need to be?
The commitment, Bart, was to youth and speed. And when the youth showed the quality, they have added players now to make them a step farther to where they want to get to and a step closer to where they want to get to. And by that, I mean they already had some talented players. Chris Kreider, Mika Zibanejad acquired in a great trade with Ottawa. Now they add, because of the fact that the young players are coming along, they believe in them. A Filipino, Kako is a high draft pick. They believe he'll come along and be a top flight player. The player, the young defenseman that they brought in, and Adam Fox and Ryan Lindgren. So the youth is quality, and they added to that a player like Artemi Panarin, who is now a candidate for the MVP and the top player in the league. Two top categories. One, the Hart Trophy, the MVP, the Ted Lindsay Award voted by the players. He's in the final three in both those categories. So now they have not only elite players, quality players, but that young group coming up, and that makes for a very, very positive situation for the Rangers. And getting back to the goaltending, they've got a great situation. Going into the postseason play, they have three quality goaltenders. They love Igor Shesterkin. He came on. He's been a winner at every level that he's played at, in the KHL in Russia, in the American League when he came over here to North America this year, played brilliantly, came to the Rangers in January, and goes 10-2. They believe he is the future. It's tough on one of the greats, maybe the greatest goaltender the Rangers have ever had, in Henrik Lundqvist. He's still got a lot left in the tank, but he's got to give some space to the youngster. And then there's Alexander Georgiev, who's an outstanding player in his own right.
It's great to have options for David Quinn. It's, yeah, you know, that's going to help, especially with the kind of restart that this is. So we had the game last night, Islanders, Rangers, and you, Joe Micheletti, in studio, as you mentioned, watching it and calling it in studio, not live. As we know, the NHL's in two separate city bubble cities, and the Islanders and Rangers both will be playing their series in Toronto. And after such a long layoff, and, you know, my son plays hockey, so I kind of have that perspective of when you haven't been on the ice for a while, man, it's hard to get back into it and really get going. You can practice basketball. You can practice other things on fields and on courts, but you need ice. You need skates. You need that kind of stuff. And so when you watched the game last night, and I know Quinny said what he said about what he thought his team's competitive level was, but when you watched it last night, did it look like, it's been a while, or were you amazed about how quickly the rhythm picked up, and by the end of the game, it looked like both teams were ready?
I thought there were some spots that were a little off, you know, some of the passing a little off, but overall, the pace of play, the conditioning is evident. The players stayed in great shape. Some of the players who were in Europe did get ice time, were able to skate. When the players started to come back to New York, they were allowed to go on the ice in informal sessions with no more than six in a group. And then they've had a couple of weeks of on-ice training in a training camp situation where they've gone at high speed. And the practices have been a little longer than normal. Usually they're around 45 50 minutes. They were going a little over an hour. They were scrimmaging. Maybe the physicality wasn't there in the training camp situation. It was a little more physical tomorrow night, and believe me, on Saturday, you'll see the physical play. I think mm-hmm. that's the one thing that the players have to get used to and had to get used to last night. More stiffer battles along the boards. The battles in front of the net to get the loose pucks. That might have been a big factor missing. But overall, conditioning, pace of play was excellent. And I think maybe some of the timing might have been still a little off.
Sam, what's one of the things that you might have noticed? You said you've called games on a monitor before. I know a lot of broadcasts have said that they've had to do that, in international play and other type of situations. But what is it? If your background, your experience, and you've been, the game 794, probably the loudest you've ever heard that building or felt, you know, emotionally. So it being in the building is special. But for you, you know, what is the difference? And is it a challenge to you even at this point in your career to call these games?
Well, I think it's a bit of a challenge, Alan, and there's no doubt about that. I think it's totally different. To me, what's missing is being there and seeing what's going on over the entire ice, looking at the benches, what's going on amongst the players on the benches, what are the coaches doing? Is the coach yelling at a player? Is the coach yelling at the referee? What's going on behind the play? Is there something going on between a couple of players? You miss that. With the TV and doing it off the monitor, we had great clarity. The huge monitor in the studio, you know the studios, Alan, you've been there and worked there. It was clear as could be, but you have to focus on the puck. You have to stay there, and you have to be dependent on the camera person who's in the building and being the lead camera and following the play. So that's what you're dependent on. That's really the biggest difference. When you're in the arena and sitting in the booth at whatever level, you can see everything. And if you want to take your eye off and take a quick look at the bench, is a player hurting on the bench? Is he going down the runway for something? You can always get that quick peek as to what's going on throughout the arena and on the entire ice. Last night and then in the games we do from the studio, you got to focus on the puck.
Now, I think the product looks tremendous visually. I think they did a tremendous job with it. But can you see yourself maybe asking them to give you some different camera angles that maybe you can only see in the studio?
So Sam Cam. Be able to, we need Sam Cam.
Yeah, get a nice little Sam Cam there. And if the Rangers continue to advance, do you see yourself maybe getting your own little igloo, your own little phone booth where you can go in so you can get the visual?
A bubble in the bubble.
The bubble in the bubble.
Get a personal bubble, huh, Bart? I don't know if they'll go that route, but we do have the game camera. We have what's called an all 12 camera in football, Bart. It's the all 22, as you know. So the all 12 gives you that's a cutaway, gives you a high angle view, and then we as a network get one camera where we can ask for a shot of the bench or ask for a shot of a player that we can focus on. So basically, we're looking at three cameras. I don't believe we'll get any more. I think the league has basically restricted it. And, of course, you'll see probably a lot more with the network telecast when NBC does their games and gets their exclusive coverage.
Sam, I know you obviously do football as well. NFL and Major League Baseball are not going to be operating in bubbles, and we're seeing baseball already. They have one team now, the Marlins, had an outbreak. Now they're a little concerned about the Phillies as well, and they're shutting them down. And they're, again, pushing through. The NFL planning to do the same thing, where they're going to travel, not use a bubble. But we're seeing in the NBA and the NHL as well, we're not seeing any positive tests. We're seeing the bubble seems to be working. So, from your experience, again, you've done a lot of different sports. Do you feel like the bubble is definitely the way to go? And that's where you can see, what's happening with baseball might be a concern for football or the NFL going forward into the fall.
I think that's a great concern, Alan, for the NFL is the guys are going to be on buses. They're going to be on planes. It's going to be, and it's a big group. It's a bigger group in football. Once the season starts, you'll have 53 on the roster or maybe 55 this year. You got a lot of players, you got a lot of trainers and a lot of coaches. That's a lot of people. So there's great concern there as to how they'll handle it. As far as hockey is concerned, I think the NHL has almost set the standard. The NBA, good for them. They've gotten off to a nice start. And as far as the players are concerned, players have to be disciplined. The NHL has done a great job. The individual teams, I know in talking to Rangers president John Davidson, they have really been over the players and with the players and emphasizing for the players how important it is to follow the protocols and not be a cause of anything to set back the league. The league's gotten off to a great start. Negative tests throughout the phase three, and so far, from what I'm hearing up in Toronto, the situation is very, very good for the players.
Right, now, do you see this as an opportunity, maybe, just maybe, for hockey to make that jump up a level as far as popularity, as far as sports, because it is a great visual product. It's hockey. It's fast-paced. You know, you look at baseball, it's kind of slow. We don't know if play is going to stop. Does hockey and hockey players see this as an opportunity to make their way into the casual living room of casual fans and maybe become a little bit more mainstream?
I hope so, Bart. I mean, I look at it as mainstream. I've grown up with it all my life and and followed the sport and now called the games for 36 years. I look at hockey as one of the four main sports, and I think it'll get more focus, more attention, and with a positive way. You've got a situation, credit the league and the players and the Players Association for getting together, working together to make this work. And then they have extended the CBA for 4 years. They have 6 years of labor peace. That's going to be big for the National Hockey League. And I think if the league gets through this, and gets through the playoffs, and it comes off without any glitches, without any major setbacks, I think it'll be a big step forward for hockey. I really do.
Sam, isn't it amazing when you go through a career like you've had and you feel like by now I think I've seen it all, and now you'll be seeing someone raise the Stanley Cup in October?
Oh, you know what? It's so strange. Just the way we started our conversation of hockey in July and August. It is so bizarre, and just sitting around from the middle of March and waiting and hoping and would it happen, and players testing positive and all situations, and how are they going to run a training camp, and how are they going to pull off the playoffs and get a structured playoff system. They've been able to come through it, and it's taken time, but again, I credit the league for progressive thinking, and I credit the players for their great cooperation, understanding, and dedication to the game.
We love seeing hockey back, but we also love hearing you calling it as well. We look forward to it. Enjoy it. Have a good time, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Saturday, 11:30 pregame, noon, Rangers in Carolina, game one.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.